This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Today, إن شاء الله تعالى, we continue from where we left off yesterday. تفسير سورة فصلت. Today we start with ayah number 37, إن شاء الله تعالى. We'll go إن شاء الله up to 43. سورة فصلت. This message is quite profound. At the same time, it's quite simple. Performing da'wah requires you to articulate your message very clearly. If you don't do that, then you're not actually fulfilling your job or fulfilling your purpose. To the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold accountable those who had this message conveyed to them in a way that was less than articulate. Those who are receiving the message, and they receive it in a way that lacks the logic or the rationale or the proper presentation, will not be held accountable for not accepting it. This is simple Islamic principles. So when you're conveying the message, you are required to do it appropriately. And there's a lot of aspects of that, but definitely one aspect of it is the clarity of the way that you explain it, because a lot of Islam or any message in the world or any creed is going to be articulated verbally. Meaning the concepts need to be explained and someone needs to think about them and contemplate and reflect and understand. So that's the first part of the surah, the first understanding of it. The second one is that if you don't listen, if you refuse to listen to what's being said, then you're accountable. You're accountable for not listening. That's where punishment lies, which is what the verses we're going to read today are going to go back to again. This is very important. You know, we're not very good listeners as human beings, even though we have two ears and one tongue. We're not very good, but this is definitely one of the most important functions that we have, our ability to actually hear what's being said and comprehend it and at the same time respond to it. Not doing that appropriately in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes is something worthy of punishment. And the third piece is that when you perform da'wah through behavior, through character, it's louder and it lasts longer and it works better. Even though there's no words involved in it. Nothing's being said, which is exactly why it's better. Because people tend to benefit from observing others' behaviors and others' character way more than they do from hearing their words. And that's what Surah Fussilat basically is trying to explain to us. And yesterday we had the pleasure of reciting the verses from 30 to 36, and they're very clear in that respect, that they explain to us exactly what it is da'wah through character looks like. It looks like, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلَ, who's better spoken than someone who calls to Allah, behaves the way they should be, and does it under the umbrella of being a Muslim. There's no one better than that. That's the best thing you can possibly do. And it's not, I don't say it's rare, but it's definitely worthy of a pause whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words like, who's better than this, or who's better, what's better than that, and rhetorically speaking, when he's saying that there's nothing better than something, it's definitely worth your time. It's definitely worth your effort to contemplate. So he points out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a few points regarding that. Good and bad are never equal. When you're faced with evil, push back with goodness, and you'll be surprised with what you will find. Not everyone can do that, though. Only those who are perseverant, only those who've been given a gracious share of ethics. And if shaitan comes your way, tries to push you in the wrong direction, seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, He hears all and He is the omniscient. So by these verses, we kind of move on to a little bit of a different paragraph where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out His signs and the response of certain people to it. And we'll explain, inshallah, the point of it as we go along. We'll start from ayah number 37.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر. لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. فإن استكبروا فالذين عند ربك يسبحون له بالليل والنهار وهم لا يسأمون.
Says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed, amongst his signs, al-laylu wal-naharu al-shamsu wal-qamar, night and day, sun and the moon. Do not prostrate to the sun or the moon, and prostrate to the one who created them, if you truly are willing to serve him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa'in istakbaru, as for those who are too arrogant to do it, as for those who lack the humbleness and humility to do so. May they know that the ones that are in the presence of their Lord, فَالَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, and this is referring to the malaika and other creatures and creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in his presence within realms that we are not fully certain of. فَالَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, those who are within the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the presence of your Lord, لَا يُسَبِّحُونَ لَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, they exalt him subhanahu wa ta'ala night and day, وَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَمُونَ, and they never get tired of it, and they never get bored. And there are similar verses to this in other parts of the Quran as well. Amongst his signs is night and day, and the sun and the moon. What are signs? Signs are aspects of existence that surround us, that point us in the direction of لا إله إلا الله. That's what a sign is. There will never be an equation that equals God. There will never be proof in the scientific definition of it. It's just not possible because the universe can't prove within its laws, it can't prove God. But it has signs within it. All the arrows will be pointing in the same direction. And signs are actually just as important as proof is. And if you have enough signs that point all in the same direction, they're equivalent of proof by far. And the examples of that within our daily life is quite simple. A proof of an action occurring sometimes is impossible. But if you have enough signs, if you have a motive and you have someone in the right place during that time and you have, if all the bricks line up, if everything is in the line, you have enough signs at point and people get convicted for stuff and people can be, even though it's not necessarily proof, but signs are similar, especially when there's an abundance of them, especially when all of them point in the same direction. So when he says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ, he says, just look at the basic stuff. Look at the night and the sun and the day as they continue, the continuum of these two. You look at the sun, you look at the moon. All of the existence of all of these cosmic creations, they're signs of your Lord. You just need to take time and reflect upon their presence, on their existence, on what their existence means to you, on how precise they are positioned for you to be here. You see, no one could have contemplated these signs. So if we weren't here, if there was no creature, if the human being wasn't around, then the existence of these signs wouldn't matter that much, would they? It wouldn't matter. Who's going to contemplate? Like, who's going to think about them? In order for a sign to be meaningful, you need someone who's going to think about it, or else what's the point of it being there? So the fact that we're here requires us to actually think about the signs around us. So when you look at these signs, and you look at the fact that without the cycle of day and night, the precise cycle of day and night that exists on this planet, meaning had the Earth been rotating around its axis a little bit quicker or a little bit slower, life would have not existed at all. So there would be no one to contemplate its existence. No one would exist to contemplate the sign. It has to be the night and day the way it is, has to be the way it is in order for us to actually exist to contemplate the sign. The sun and the moon are at a very precise distance from this planet. If they were any farther or any closer or any bigger or any smaller, then life would not exist and there would be no one to contemplate these signs. But because they are exactly the way they are, exactly where they are, moving as quick and or as fast or as slow as they are, we are here. So when you take these, when that's the case, you are obligated as a human being, take a moment and contemplate these signs, that they are there and they serve a purpose, which is for you to be here. So you and I are here because they're there. These are signs. These are signs. There's no equations here that will equal anything for you, but they're a sign. It's from the signs of God. It's the simple stuff that are the most obvious in terms of our ability to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universe. It's the most simple stuff. But it's at the same time the stuff that we take for granted. And they're not as interesting. We want more, exciting things. Give us information that's new. You don't need more than the basics. The stuff that has always been there and always will be there. Just look at those. Which is what the Quran does all the time. All the Quran does is just look at what's right there. Just stare at a tree, yahi. Just look at the water. Just observe green coming out of the earth. Just the basic stuff that happened all the time. This is where you'll find the basic signs. You don't need to get on a spaceship and soar into space to see God. You'll see him right here, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the basic stuff that occur, the functions of this world that we're a part of. So he points out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not prostrate to the sun or the moon. Don't prostrate to any of my signs. Don't let any of my signs be more than just signs, because that's what they're there for. The moment you allow them to be more than what they are, then you have misunderstood this message altogether. The universe is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The universe is not infinite. The universe is not worthy of worship. The universe is not the one that created us. It's just a sign of God. If you see it to be more than it is, then you basically misread the whole message. That is what you do. And the prostration, we just prostrated, literally. But the Quran, most of the time, prostration is a symbolic concept of admission of superiority. That's what prostration actually symbolizes, that you're admitting something is superior. You're admitting something is more powerful and more meaningful and is more honorable than yourself, which is why it's used in the Quran, specific example. It's used with the Malaika and Adam alayhi salam. Now, many scholars, if not the majority of them, don't think and don't actually believe that the Malaika prostrated in the sense that we did for Adam. They don't see that to be the case. Their sujood for Adam alayhi salam was an admission of superiority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this creation that I made is more valuable to me. More valuable to me. Even the Malaika had some questions. Why? تَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Why would you create something that has the ability to shed blood and has ability, as far as we can tell, to be corrupted? Because you said, this is what you explained to us, it has the potential of being corrupt and has the potential of shedding blood. Why? We're here continuously praising you and exalting you at all times. What's the point? Iblis went as far as saying, no, I'm not doing it. I will not admit that this thing is better than me in any form or manner. I am better than him. I am better than him just based on origin. I don't care. He hasn't done anything yet. So there's really no point of me even considering, am I convincing of Iblis's argument? Yeah. Is it convincing or compelling argument? He hasn't done anything, so it's not based on merit. And if it's based on origin, I'm going to make a fire. He's made out of, what is this? I don't even know what this is. This mess that he's made of. It doesn't seem to be that, mud? What? I don't know what this is. So the origin doesn't seem that impressive. And he hasn't really done anything yet, so I don't understand why I have to prostrate to him. Oh, that's a whole different issue altogether. The fact that he defied Allah, but that was his argument. So when they prostrated as an admission of superiority, admission of the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the human being. That's his choice, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can't walk around, a human being can't walk around saying, God doesn't, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already done way more for us than we can ever actually fully comprehend. Like, we'll never fully understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us. But it's way more than what we think it is. With the evidence of that story in Jannah that occurred. So he's already ranked you pretty high, and he's destined you for something pretty great, and he put within you a potential that no one seems to see, sometimes even us, but it's there, and it's pretty amazing. So don't prostrate to the sun or the moon or anything else. Why are you wasting your time? Why are you prostrate? Why are you admitting? Why? The only thing that you need to admit is superior to you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing you prostrate to is Allah, the one who created all of them. If you truly want to understand how to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make sure that your prostration and your submission, which is what, again, this is what prostration actually symbolizes. It symbolizes that admission of superiority and full submission. I'm submitting that this thing is more. So submit only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you truly want to serve him, then you need to learn to submit only to him. And if that's too much to ask, and if someone's a bit too arrogant to do it, and istikbar is a problem, you will find istikbar, if you're interested in al-Hawameem from Ghafir to al-Ahqaf, it's all through these surahs. All seven surahs talk about the problem of arrogance. Talk about when people allow things to go to their heads. And the danger of that, and what it can, and the implications of that, and it's all through these seven surahs. It's actually very interesting. Point to follow along in the Hawameem. Anyways, فَإِنِ اسْتَكْبَرُوا, but if those are too arrogant to do it, فَالَّذِينَ, may they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking you to do this because He requires worship, because somehow it fuels Him. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ جَلَّ جَلَالُ اللَّهِ. Those who are in the presence of your Lord, they exalt Allah day and night, night and day, and they never get bored. They're not like you and I. They don't get bored. They don't get tired of it. They don't need to do something else. They have no other needs to fulfill. There are no voids inside of them that they have to go and find. No, they're good. They are happy. They find pleasure. They find beauty day and of just continuously praising their Lord. So it's really not about that. It's not about Him requiring someone to exalt Him. This is for you. This is for me. This is for me to understand what I am here for, who I am. This journey of self-exploration is very important in Islam. You finding out, discovering, self-discovery is what it is. You're finding out exactly who you are. If you can do that before a certain point in your life, then a lot can be done. And if it's late, then it's late. Sometimes people never come to that conclusion or never come to that realization. But if you're able to go on that path of self-discovery and figure out why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you here, who you are, what you're capable of doing, what the point is, what your point is, then your potential becomes limitless. But it takes a while to figure it out. Meaning you need to contemplate, you need to reflect, you need to really think about these things. You need to really see the wisdom and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you the way you are. As small and as simple and as weak and as fragile in the corner of the universe somewhere. But there's something within you that is bigger than all of that. That is much more meaningful than all of that. Everything around you can be encompassed within you. If you understand exactly what you're here to do. So what you do is you, لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Make sure you don't prostrate to any of the signs. The signs that are put there for you to find out who God is, don't make them something that they're not. And prostrate to the one who created them, the one that you should be serving. And if you're, for some reason, too arrogant to do that, then He doesn't need it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who continue to exalt Him night and day, and they never get bored. So it's not His loss, it's yours. That means it's not, He doesn't lose anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do, and we don't. You go on to the ayah after, inshallah. Which is very similar, but I stopped because the sajda made me to. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. فَإِذَا
إن الذي أحياها لمحيي الموتى إنه على كل شيء قدير
And amongst the signs as well, so amongst the signs are the night and day and sun and moon. And amongst the sign as well is that when you see the earth khashia, meaning in a state of humility, this is a figure of speech. Because khushu' is something that occurs to the human heart and the human soul. But as a figure of speech, it occurs to the earth. When the earth is empty and there's nothing on it and there's no life to be found and it hasn't seen the source of life for quite some time, it's khashia. It's weak. It's weak and it seems lonely and it's empty. So it seems humble and humiliated. When ayati annaka tara al-ardha khashi'a, you look at it, it seems like it's at its lowest. It's beaten. There's nothing in it. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ And then we descend upon it a little bit of water. اهتزت وربت. It shakes and it swells. Ever seen the what they do is they take those cameras and they just focus a camera on a piece of land that water is going to, that rain comes to, and then they keep the camera running for like 10 days or something. And then they take that and they just, ever seen that? And they just fast forward it like by a 100 time lapse, like 100 times fold. And what you see is you see the land, it shakes, right? Even on the, if you haven't seen it before, watch it because it's actually quite interesting. The land starts to shake, it swells up, and then it shakes, and then water, and then something green pops up out of it. This is amongst my signs. This is the most simple function of existence. This is the most simple function of existence. Water comes from the sky, something green pops up out of the earth. That's a sign. That is like one of those main signs. You see what these verses are talking about? Day, night, sun, moon, and the earth producing something green. Tell me what is more fundamental to this world that we live in than these four or five functions that he just explained, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are you looking for God? Where are you looking for Him? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go. Just look around. Just look at what's there, what's happening right in front of you, what continues to happen every moment of every day. Tazzat wa rabat. Inna alladhi ahyaha. Indeed, the one who granted this earth life, a moment ago there was nothing in it. It's actually more interesting when you see it in the desert, honestly. The desert actually, you don't need time lapse in the desert. You can watch it with your own eyes. You can stand in the middle of the desert, watch the rain hit the ground, and as you stand there, something green will start popping up out of the earth in front of you. Very, very, it's very real, by the way, and it's very meaningful. It's totally worth the time. Because the desert is so thirsty. So the moment you get a little bit of water, it starts to produce life immediately. Because everything is thirsty for life. Everything wants to live. Everything is waiting for its chance to be alive. This is an amazing journey that we're on here. This is breathtaking. The fact that you and I are here is just beyond our ability to actually comprehend. It's so amazing that we're confused by it. We don't even know what to do with it. It's just because how do you explain it? We didn't really contribute much to its existence. Like the contribution that we have to actually keeping life going is quite pathetic and very simple and almost comedic in many form in many aspects of it. But we're here, and this what's a bigger blessing than being alive? Really, nothing. Life is very powerful. It's a very powerful force that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He's asking you, don't look too far. Just look at the basic stuff. They're all signs. They're all set up for you. For you, so you can be around. You're around because of these things. Without them, remove any of these elements. What happens if one day water comes and hits the ground and nothing comes out? You do what then? Then what do you do? So you speak to a few biologists, so what? What are they going to do? They're going to come and talk to the seeds to accept water and grow. There's nothing to do. If seeds stop accepting water within soil and growing, there's nothing you can do. We still don't know exactly why they do it. We understand how they do it. We understand what exactly the seed is doing in terms of taking the water and energy. But we don't know why. We don't know why what's actually making one seed do it and the other seed not doing it. If they decide not to do it, there's nothing you and I can do. How is that not a sign? How is it that we need anything else? Why is it that we need to make any other arguments for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very, very mind-boggling, honestly, that we've come to that as a race. But these are his signs. These are amongst his signs. إِنَّ الَّذِي أَحْيَاهَا And indeed, the one who granted this earth, this dead earth life, is the one who will grant dead people life, is the one who will resurrect the dead. لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Indeed, he is capable of all, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. So those are the signs that are visible in the universe. These verses are going to talk about the two types of signs. The ones that you see within the page of his creation, and then the ones that you're going to read in the book that he sent you. And all of them are articulation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are those who will not listen to any of them. There are those who will refuse to listen to any of these arguments, regardless of where their origin, where they're coming from. And that's the problem. And that's the problem that we have as human beings. And forget about Muslims. Now you can say, well, how is this going, affecting us as Muslims? Oh, no, it affects us as Muslims all the time. Because even as a Muslim, as you grow up, you're going to have to answer some of these questions. You're going to have to actually contemplate these things and decide. When you were gifted la ilaha illallah as a child, you could say that, you were taught that. Well, you have to kind of, stack up the understandings of it later on in life for it to mean. If it's going to stay with you, it's going to actually stick around in your life moving forward, then you have to take some time and really contemplate exactly what that's going to mean to you and where that comes from. And what you need to do is you have to look at in both these directions. You want to look in the direction of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually created, and then you're going to look in the direction of what we are reading today. So we'll recite these two verses, inshallah, and explain them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمْ مَنْ يَأْتِي أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ إن الذين كفروا بالذكر لما جاءهم وإنه لكتاب عزيز He says, indeed, those who yulhiduna fi ayatina, those who continue to disbelieve within our signs. Ilhad today is what we call atheism. It's when we refuse to believe that the signs we are seeing have an origin or are designed by a source or actually put there by something. And that's inshallah what I'll be talking about, in the seven episode series that we'll have starting this Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala. And I'll go into much, in a lot of detail about that. But this is the Quran, because the Quran talks about this a lot. The Quran talks about the problem of those who are presented with the signs and they just don't take time to contemplate them. They don't have an explanation for them. They refuse to see them within any form of light or context. Why are they there? Why are they there the way they are there? Is there anything there for you to understand or to look at or to listen to or to think about? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا Those, and الْحَاد is for you to go away, is to turn away or to deviate away from haqq. And that's why وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ سُورَةُ الْحَجِ Those who deviate away from the way of justice are the ones who will be punished. So الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا Those who deviate away from understanding our signs, meaning they don't do it at all, or they take the signs and they look at them from a completely different perspective. They don't take away from them what they should. لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا They're not hidden to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's not like this goes unnoticed. We see it. We hear what they're saying. It's clear to us what arguments that they're making of what we've actually put there. أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Those who refuse to contemplate these signs and they deviate away from them. The question is, أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ What about the person who is better? The one who was thrown into Jahannam. Is he better? Is he khayr? أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ Or the one who comes in full safety and security on the Day of Judgment. He says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يقول ربي, in the hadith in Ahmad al-Tirmidhi, لَا يَجْتَمِعُ لِعَبْدِي أو لَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَى عَبْدِي in different narrations. لَا يَجْتَمِعُ عَلَى عَبْدِي أَمْنَانِ وَلَا خَوْفَانِ There will not, for any of my servants, there will not be two states of fear or two states of security. فَمَنْ أَمِينَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا خَوَّفْتُهُ يَوْمَ أَجْمَعُ عِبَادِي Those who live in this life with full security, they have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be scared on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ خَافَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَمَّنْتُهُ يَوْمَ أَجْمَعُ عِبَادِي And those who have fearfulness and reverence of Allah in dunya will find security on the Day of Judgment. So you have to figure out which direction you want to go. أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ The one who's going to be thrown into Jahannam وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Is that better? Or the one who comes and they are secure and they are safe on the Day of Judgment. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ Do what you want. Do what you will. Go ahead. Whatever it is you want, what do you want to do? Go ahead, do it. إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ He sees all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is, he sees all that you do. Go ahead. This is not an invitation to do something haram. This is basically saying, at the end, you are given the right to choose. This is what you were offered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else was offered that. So do what you want. If what you're listening to makes no sense to you, if you look at the night and day and the sun and the moon and life coming from earth and all of that means nothing to you, and all these signs don't really mean anything and they're not pointing in any direction as far as you're concerned and they're not reminding you of anything, then go ahead. Do whatever you want. He's watching, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just know that on the Day of Judgment, they're not the same. Those who come and are thrown in Jahannam are not equal to the ones who are standing there in security. They're not the same thing. Just so you're aware that when you come on the Day of Judgment, there will be some discrepancy. And there'll be some differentiation between two groups of people and how they actually function and what state they're in. So go ahead. اعملوا ما شئتم. It's not a dare. It's just, this is what you're offered this experience. Do what you want. Totally up to you. He's not going to intervene, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and put a boundary. You cannot. No, go ahead. It's your choice. I'm watching all of it. If this is not making sense to you, go ahead. It's a very scary ayah in Surah Al-Fussilat. Like, I've made things pretty clear. I've made things pretty clear for you. You don't want to listen to it? There's the door. Go ahead. Do what you want. It's completely up to you. Just remember that on the Day of Judgment, they're not the same. Those who are being thrown into Jahannam and those who are standing there in full security, they're not the same. So see what you want. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالذِّكْرِ Indeed, those who have disbelieved in the reminder. لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ Once it was sent to them. There's something missing here. I mean, this sentence is not complete. That's where the sentence actually ends. So indeed, those who have disbelieved in the reminder once it was sent to them. That's the end of it. There's no answer. Like, a sentence has to have a mubtada and a khabra. It has to have a beginning, and then it has to have some piece of information that's offering you, especially in the jumal al-ikhbariya, when you talk about sentences that offer information. This is a sentence that is offering information. It's not a command. It's an information-based sentence. But there's a piece missing. It's left for the context. Or you can say that it's exactly what was talked about in the first one. When he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا And though, indeed, those who refuse to believe in our signs, لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا They don't go unseen to us. They're not under the radar. It could be the same thing for this one. I mean, that answer is the same answer for this ayah. Or the context is, or this ayah is left open-ended. You can fill in the blanks. Indeed, those who refuse to believe in the remembrance that was sent to them. Two things. You were given the signs on the page of the universe and the sign and the verses on the page of the Quran. It's pretty well covered. Wherever you look, you'll find signs that will point you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then those who don't want to listen. Surah Al-Fussilat is saying some people just won't listen. No matter what you do, they just won't accept. And that's fine. They do what they want. They will live however they want to live. You can't control them. That's not your job. Don't waste too much time or effort or energy or don't worry too much. Just do your thing. Just do what do I do? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Just go back to that central verse in the surah. Just go back to it. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Hold yourself to that standard. Just hold yourself to that standard. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Hold yourself to those standards. That's all you need to do. Because some people, no matter what signs you give them, they will not prostrate. No matter what signs you show them, they will not believe. They will continue to yulhidun. They'll continue to deviate away with these signs from their purpose and from their origin. Some people will be given the reminder and they will completely disbelieve it and throw it and move on. You can't control that. But if you are fortunate enough, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed the blessing upon you, that this makes sense, and you understand it and you are committed to it and you adhere to it, then that is amazing. You're very, very fortunate. You should perform a lot of hamd at all times. You should be in constant praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you were granted that, because some people don't have it and they can't find their way towards it. And it's scary because they will be held accountable for not listening to what was being said and were not contemplating what was being offered to them. So since you didn't have to do that because you grew up kind of into this and there's a part of you that accepted it almost innately without even putting any effort into it, then you have to put in more effort. You have to actually push yourself farther in contemplation. Because like I didn't have to actually do that initial contemplation. That was very risky because I could have easily been one of those who yulhiduna fi ayatina, or those who kafaru bi dhikri, but I'm not. That means I'm going to take some time and contemplate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put out there more profoundly to make up for the fact that I didn't have to do the initial phase of it. I think that's a very important concept to say. And then the rest of these verses, up to 43, subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Qur'an for a moment. Just like he described the Qur'an يعني, at the beginning of the surah, حَامِيمْ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, something descended, it was descended from the most merciful, the most gracious, كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا, a book that was detailed, the verses were detailed, a recited Arabic book, chapters and with values, was explained and explained again. Because there's no articulation in the world that is better than the articulation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in his book. Nothing even comes remotely close. All of what Islam is just a very modest effort of trying to explain what qala Allah. That's all it is. Everything. Every Muslim Islamic book that has ever been written and will ever be written, every dars that has ever been given and recorded or scheduled or attended, the goal of it, even just trying to explain the basics of Arabic grammar, or maybe a little bit of logic, or just a little bit of يعني, of mustalah al-hadith and how hadith, all of this is just building up so that you have a better ability to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. That's the goal, is to understand what he says subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you understand what he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can practice it, and if you can practice it, then you are saved and others will be saved as well. And nothing in Islam goes beyond that. There's nothing more to this whole story than that. That's it. وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ. Indeed, it is a book with chapters and values. Aziz, that is of high status. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Aziz, he is the unfathomable, he is the unbeatable. But كِتَابٌ عَزِيز, meaning there's nothing like it. Unique book. There's nothing like it. عَزَّ الشَّيْءُ, if something is Aziz, meaning there's nothing like it. You can't reach it. You can't get it. There's nothing similar to it. There's no second. There's not another copy of it. There's not something. No. It's one thing, very unique. Which is why Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is Aziz, because He said Wahid Lahad. There's no one else. And this book is Aziz because there's nothing similar to it. There's no book that comes even remotely close to what the Quran has been able to do. There's no book that has been taken care of and has been studied every detail of it as much as the Quran has. And when we talk about books of faith, there is no book on the planet that has had more people and more effort put into understanding it and studying it and contemplating it and basically looking into every single detail. Wallahi, down to the letter, to the tashkil. When you study qira'at, you know, they look down to every, they look into that when you're going to pronounce it. Like the details of pronunciation or enunciation of letters in the Quran goes into such detail that people who listen to it have no idea what's happening. I have no idea to what degree it actually occurs. That when someone's speaking or saying the Quran, we are listening to very subtle details and making sure that the pronunciation is going to be 100%. And the slightest deviation, it has to be corrected. For most people, they don't hear it. But whoa. For those who study this, they know every detail. Someone who does it, he just knows that we're following every single detail. in the way that it's going to be said, forget about what's written and what it means. Even the way it's going to be said, the sounds are going to be made from the voice boxes and the mouth and the tongue has to come out in a certain way. If it doesn't, then you need to stop saying it. You have to go try again. That's how well this book was taken care of. وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ. Nothing comes close to it.
لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. تنزيل من حكيم حميد. ما يقال لك إلا ما قد قيل للرسل من قبلك. إن ربك لذو مغفرة وذو عقاب أليم.
Indeed, it is a unique book that falsehood has no access to it. There is no mistake, there is no flaw for falsehood to find any way into it. لا يأتيه الباطل. There's not a word of falsehood in it. There's not an ounce. There's nothing. There's no falsehood in this book. Think about that. This is pure haqq. Everything else has haqq in it and has some degree of baatil somewhere there. Everything that was written, everything that is said, every behavior that happens, every human being amongst us has haqq and also has baatil somewhere except this book. This is pure haqq. There's nothing of baatil in it at all. That on its own is mind-blowing. That as a concept is extremely intriguing, that when you open it, you are exposed to nothing but haqq. There's no baatil. You open any other novel or book or Islamic book, you can open a book of hadith, there's something in there. By default, there's something in there that's wrong. There's something in there that is lacking full authenticity. There's something that is not correct there. But here, no. You open this and this is just pure haqq. لا يأتيه الباطل. There's no baatil in it whatsoever. من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. Not in his present, not in his past, and not in his future. Not the beginning of it, not at the end of it, not in the middle of it. لا يأتيه الباطل. Baatil is not associated with this piece of haqq that we carry in our hands. Tanzeelun, it is descended, this revelation, min hakeemin, from the all-wise Hamid, the one who is always worthy of praise. Because you carry it in your hand and you have the ability to believe in it, he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of alhamdulillah. Tanzeelun min hakeemin hamid, revealed to you by the one who is all-wise, the one worthy of praise. This chapter finishes, or this paragraph finishes with him saying, مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلرُّسُلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. All that's being said to you, Ya Muhammad, it's all what was said to all the prophets before you. You're not hearing anything new. There are two ways to understand this ayah, and the scholars of tafsir are almost divided 50-50 on how they decide to interpret it. Some interpret this verse as saying, مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ, as in what you're being told by God is exactly what all the prophets before you were told by God himself, which is, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ وَذُو عِقَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Indeed, your Lord is the one of forgiveness, and he also provides difficult and painful punishment. The other interpretation, which I find, which is more, is closer to my understanding of the ayah, all that you're hearing from the disbelievers is what has been said to every prophet before you. Nothing's new. And by the way, till this day, all of the different arguments that exist against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his signs and his teachings, the same thing. The same recycled garbage, forgive me. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. Meaning, they whatever you find, you can just trace it back to Aristotle and Socrates. You can take it back 7,000 years. The same stuff. The same arguments, just being, it's just recycled, repackaged, and then fed to you, the consumer, and at a time where we don't have time to study, where no one's willing to learn anything anymore. So it seems like it was not new, it's the same stuff. I have yet to hear an argument that I did not study in books that were written 1,000 years ago. I have yet to hear an argument that made me, it's all the same stuff. even with all the science, because really it's not science that brings arguments with or for or against understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God. It's philosophy. It's always has been. Science has nothing to really add to this. It's very simple. It's very subtle what science has actually put forward. Ma yuqalu lak, all you're hearing, all that's being said to you. Nothing is being said to you except illa ma qad qila lil rusuli min qablik, except what was said to the prophets before you. So don't be upset. This is the taqdeer in the ayah. This is what's being said. Don't let it upset you. You continue to articulate, you continue to explain, and they will say what they want. And what will happen? Inna rabbaka ludhu maghfira. Some people Allah will forgive. Wadhu iqabin aleem. Some will have painful punishment. And that's the end of this paragraph. Tomorrow, next week, inshallah, we'll conclude the surah with a finale of surah Fussilat. That's very powerful. I urge you throughout the week to read it and contemplate it on your own, so that when we talk about it, the surah that talks about these three aspects, the importance of articulation clearly, the importance of listening, and the importance of actually performing da'wah with character, which is surah Fussilat, is summarized beautifully at the end of the surah. So we'll address that, inshallah ta'ala, next week. Subhanallah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum.